speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with manners.
Okay, hello!
Hello, listeners. Welcome to podcast number 16 with watchwithmothers.net. I'm here with Napoleon.
Hello!
Hello, Napoleon. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm in quite a good mood, all things considered.
Yeah, there's no reason for that, is there? Or
I'm moving in 7 days, which is quite exciting. I'm moving to a soulless, architecturally bankrupt, flood-ridden building in the centre of Sheffield.
All right.
Yeah.
I hadn't even registered that you were moving house.
I am actually moving house. Yeah, I'm moving. Do you know those? Do you know all those waterside development things they built on floodplains in the good times in Britain?
Yeah, I know the sort of thing you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, where your kitchen's in the back of your living room, so you have to sit listen to your washing machine while you're watching Coronation Street. Yeah, I'm moving into one of those, and it's only flooded once, which means my insurance is astronomical.
Why are you doing that?
Because the house I live in at the moment is, well, it's like something out of the 1970s. It's horrendous.
Right. So this place is smaller and floods.
And floods, and my kitchen's in my living room.
Right. So things are looking up, really.
Yeah, I'm on the air. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
And that's...
How's yourself?
I'm all right. I'm just a little bit... I'm stinging a bit, smarting.
Well, you've been stung by a wasp? A wasp? No, a jasper?
Not physically stung by a jasper. I've been reading our reviews on iTunes, and I've got to admit, it's getting me down a bit.
Oh, well, is that because of the criticism of the likes of Lupin28?
Hang on, Lupin28? I think you might have hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah?
I'm just trying to find... Yeah, Lupin28, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's faint praise, and then there's faint criticism, and I think this falls into the faint criticism camp.
Which is, what the bloody hell was that?
I told you there's diggers outside and,
Oh, it's a digger. All right, okay, well, we'll just ignore that. We'll just, if anybody comes in late to this, I don't know how they would do that, but if they do, we'll just say, oh, it's just a transformer.
Yeah, it's Optimus Prime is doing his makeup outside.
Or, Bumblebee. Yeah, he's just pissing about. Leave it, Bumblebee! There you go. But yeah, so Lupin says there are occasional laughs in this podcast. I don't think I agree with him there. But they are few and far between. No, I do agree with him, I suppose. Considering the aim of the podcast is to criticise and comment on TV programmes, the participants seem to have a poor knowledge of their subject matter. Charlie Brooker, it certainly isn't.
Well, you see, in the headline, he contradicts himself a bit because he says it's mostly poor. And he's also said there are occasional laughs. But then later on he says, we have a poor knowledge of the subject matter.
Yeah, but that is true. I mean, haven't we pointed out at every single stage, right, usually at the beginning of the podcast, that we don't know what we're on about?
Yeah, I suppose we have.
Yeah, I mean, if you are coming to this wanting to be informed about TV, well, read the site, to be honest. Because, I mean, I'd say people on there do much more research than us, which is you email me saying, shall we do a podcast? I say, all right, shall we do a list? All right, we write a list in about 8 minutes, then we do the podcast. That's not research.
No, I wonder what that is. Technically, that's just a cack-handed mucking about, isn't it? Really?
That's buggering about. Yeah, that's doing nothing, essentially. What we're doing is nothing. So, I mean... To Lupin28, I'm very sorry if you for some weird reason you listen to this again, and you're sitting, what, these ill-informed buggers. I mean, we have sort of said that over the last 15 of these or whatever, that we the science fiction, you may have listened to that thinking about it.
Yeah, that wasn't the best example of what we do.
That was shocking. We didn't know anything about
whose
that.
Whose idea was that, anyway?
That was my idea, but I sort of assumed that you'd seen at least some science fiction, and I could have sworn I'd seen some myself.
But then it just vanished from your memory bank.
Well, no, it did, didn't it? Because, I mean, there was, what was it? It was Doctor Who. We didn't know bugger all about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was even about. So, I mean, maybe Lupin listened to that, and he thought, oh, this is... In fact, hang on a minute, he could be a Star Trek fan.
He could be from Gallifrey Base, the Doctor Who website.
Of which you're banned from.
I think I'm banned. I can't get in, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're banned because you had the audacity to not know anything about Doctor Who, which obviously, to Doctor Who fans, is a crime.
Well,
a crime against humanity as bad as what the Nazis got up to.
In Lupin 28's defence, A, he's got a good name, and B, he's actually accurate.
Yeah, I hope nobody's listening to this thinking, oh, the whiny bastards. They're getting really annoyed about people leaving shirty comments. I'm not bothered about shirty comments. I like to think, good on you. You know, if you don't like something, say you don't bloody well like it, move on. Bob's, you know, job's a good one. You've got a bit of backbone, basically.
Yeah, they've seized their opportunity to anonymously criticise us, and I think that's good because that's exactly what we do. We anonymously criticise things.
Exactly, so we're no better than them.
No.
So, you know, for somebody like Jimbo1664, who has accused me of being a northern chap who's really very annoying, good on you. I agree with you. If we ever met up, we could go for a drink if it wasn't for a fact that my BO.
Yeah. But there's one that really stings, and that's from Greg Hard.
Oh, yeah, he can fuck off.
Yeah, 2 out of 4 listeners found his review helpful, apparently.
Yeah, who were they?
I don't know, but he said there are far better podcasts out there. One by Adam and Joe, the professional television presenters and radio presenters. Collins and Herring, the professional journalist and comedian. Peacock and Gamble, who I assume is some sort of soap company.
I think they're a professional outfit with their own radio thing as well, aren't they?
Never heard of them.
Yeah, but apparently, and then he says at the end, doesn't he, why waste your time on this poop?
Yeah, he calls it poop.
Poop?
That's a child's word, poop.
Who says poop?
Children.
children. Greg, are you a child? Are you a child, Greg? You listening to this now, Greg?
Silly Greg.
Playing with your own feces in a cot. Unbelievable. So, there are far better podcasts. Yeah, of course there are. There were loads. In fact, there are far better podcasts out there than Adam and Joe's, than Collings and Herring. You know, it's entirely dependent on what you think, isn't it? If you happen to like them more than you like something else, it's like you and films, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, you like all fancy Dan films, don't you?
I do. I also like really gritty, badly made horror films as well.
Well, yeah, obviously. But then other people like me would come along and say, all the films you like are awful. That doesn't make me right.
No, exactly. No one's right. Everyone's got an opinion. It's all in good fun, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So stick it up your ass, Greg Hard. You're banned. You're barred. Can you bar somebody from listening to a podcast?
I don't think you can. I've got no control over what happens on iTunes whatsoever. So.
I think we should just start everyone with, don't forget, Greg, you're barred.
Yeah, Greg Hard is barred.
Greg Hard is barred. Stick it up your ass.
just before we sound a little bit bitter, thank you.
Sorry, towards Greg Hard.
Would like to...
all the other ones. I'm on the side of Jimbo1664.
Yeah, I think he's accurate.
Yeah.
But just in terms of all the pleasant things people have said, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Write more, please, and let's get Greg Hard into a corner.
Yeah, you sycophantic bastards. But yeah, no, in fact, I think we should all start an internet hate campaign against Greg Hard.
Yeah, he's non-traceable, that's the problem.
Yeah, but he knows who he is. We know who he is. So I'm assuming there's quite a lot of people who listen to this and actually like it. So if they all wrote on here, this is great, up yours, Greg Hard, like that, then Greg Hard would come on here and think, hang on a minute, how can they're all gang up on me? And the only way he'll be able to find out is by listening to a podcast. A podcast he despises! Do you like that, Greg Hard?
Yeah, that's the solution then. We urge you to do that. Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini channels. It's Watch With Mothers. It's Watch With Mothers. We forgot to mention in the preamble, we're talking X Factor today.
Yeah, down, ba ba ba. That's not how the music goes, is it?
Good. Dun 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 dun.
That's it. Dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
The X Factor with Simon Cowell.
And then you cross your arms in a hammer shape, just like in Pink Floyd The Wall.
Like, yeah, I've already seen it pointed out of the site by a few people. I think you included as well. That was a bit fascist.
extremely fascist. I'll go into that later, yeah.
Right, okay, a bit Nuremberg-y. So that's something to look forward to for, Nazi fans.
Yeah, and the fans of the oncoming cowl, what's the word? What are they called? Dictatorships?
The dictatorship of Simon Cowell? That'd be worse than being under Noel Edmonds.
It's coming. It's coming around the corner. But before we talk about that, did you watch it on Saturday?
I certainly did, yeah. I didn't want to.
Right.
But strategically, every single other TV channel in Britain had decided to throw in the towel and was just showing shit at the same time. So it was either the X Factor or a 20-year-old edition of Life of Grime or something like that. And I thought, right, it's the X Factor then, isn't it? I've got no choice.
Well, that happens, doesn't it? They do that around the time of The Apprentice as well, I notice.
I think they do, don't they? There's just some shows that come on and they think, nah, no.
Fuck it.
No, no.
Yeah, that's what they think. What was your favourite bit?
I liked Sister Act.
Yeah, they were good.
Which I think that I reckon they should have been called Fry Bread.
Right, are they the two Lithuanian girls?
No. The two were. But I'm very suspicious that they were originally porn actresses.
Oh yeah, girls. I've got the name wrong, haven't I? What were they called?
I don't know what they were called. The two Lithuanians, I've no idea. I don't know any of these people. The only people I know were Sister Act, who I think should have been called Fried Bread.
Yeah, there was Dreamgirls was the Lithuanians and Sister Act, well, Fried Bread were the two BBWs.
It's big, beautiful women.
That's exactly what they were. A whole lot of women.
A hell of a lot of women, and they came lumbering on. We're back, and this time we will sing you a song. And I just thought, oh, I wish my missus had put on a bit of weight.
See, what you're doing now is you're as bad as the audience, aren't you?
Why?
Because it was...
I like the larger lady.
It was systematic bullying, really, wasn't it?
What, of Fried Bread?
Of the poor Fried Bread girls, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they weren't very good. I mean, she's already been on the show before. I'm assuming from being the age of a child, she's watched the X Factor or Pop Factor, Idol, whatever the hell he did before. So she knows the score, doesn't she? I don't think anybody, surely, going on that show now doesn't know the score. I.e., if you go on and you're a bit overweight and you're a bit unattractive and you can't sing, the inevitable's going to happen.
Yeah, but we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. No doubt they've got a production crew who retained her phone number. I wouldn't be surprised if a producer got in touch with her.
Said, would you and your sister like to come back on, maybe form a band, call yourself, I don't know, Fried bread. Heifers of the North, whatever. You know, you come lumbering on, sing some bloody awful rubbish, we'll pay you a bit of... It might have happened. I mean, I do wonder about X Factor, to be honest, whether it is all entirely... Well, it isn't, is it? It's not all entirely true, I don't think.
No, I'd say about 75% of it is bullshit.
Yeah, well, it seems to be. I mean, skipping to the end, but the end was quite clearly contrived.
What, of this episode?
Yeah.
What's his name? Daniel
Fadadera, or whatever. I don't know what his name was.
Daniel Johnson, his name was, which is odd, because there's a singer called Daniel Johnson from America who's actually really good, but I think he's got some crazy form of autism. He's definitely mentally not well.
Right.
It's just odd to see this slick boy band type come on and call himself Daniel Johnson when I'm used to a fat old man banging away and screaming at a guitar.
Well, that's it. And it was very, very well choreographed. It came after that whole scene of the bit in X Factor where Simon Cowell gets annoyed. I mean, there used to be staples of X Factor. Most of them are still in place. There was the Sharon Osbourne threatening to resign thing. There was the Louis Walsh getting sacked or speculation he wasn't going to be back this week thing. And then there's the bit in the show where Simon's pissed off because all of the acts that have turned up are shit.
Yeah, novelty acts.
And obviously, you know, the whole point of the X Factor, the early rounds, is that we're watching it for the shit. That's what makes him his money.
So then they threw on Daniel Johnson and he got a whole song for some reason.
Exactly, a whole song with backing singers, choreographed, the whole audience joining in. And you sat and thought, well, this has all been, this has all been put together in a certain way, hasn't it? And that last bit, I'm sure, has all been, you know, the production team's been in on that.
For sure. And then you look online and you think, well, people will be, you know, if not angry, just at least a bit, you know, rolling their eyes at that.
Thinking, well, that didn't just spontaneously happen.
Yeah, but no, the fact is everyone loves the illusion, so they're all into it.
What did he sing? What song did this Daniel fella sing? Joe Cocker, wasn't it?
It was a Ringo Starr number, yeah.
Beatles' original song, was it? Why would you do that? That one, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how come at the end of that song, Simon Cowell didn't stand up and go, can you sing anything modern?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what he did to a perfectly acceptable black fella that came
Wayne
on
Dibley.
Before him. Was it Dwayne Dibley? Was that his name?
Yeah, Dwayne Dibley, I think his name was.
Right, he came on. He was perfectly brilliant. He did Ain't No Mountain High Enough, didn't he?
Very well, I have to say.
Did it? Yeah, I mean, I'd say probably the best singer in the show, except maybe the Essex girl.
Oh, Stacey. I've got a thing about Stacey.
Stacey, she looks like a horse. Oh, yeah. But anyway,
that's not fair. She looks like a sexy horse.
She looks like a sexy horse. I didn't say she looked like an ugly horse, did I?
Fair dues. Carry on.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, anyway, this fella, he came on. He sang the song perfectly well. As far as I'm concerned, that's the rules.
Yeah.
Unless they've changed them recently, I don't know. But anyway, he comes on, sings that, and then right at the end, Cal goes, right, can you sing anything modern?
Yeah.
And he's cheating himself. What, sing something I don't recognise. I don't know what the hell he sang at the end. But obviously, that was enough to get him through. Well, where did this one come from?
Exactly. It's like turning up to a job interview for, I don't know, being a postman. And they say, right, can you stick these letters through the letterbox? You do it all perfectly well, and then they expect you to juggle.
Yeah, right, yeah, right at the end. Well, hang on a minute. I didn't read this in my contract.
Yeah.
And that's what annoyed me about this Daniel Johnson at the end. That he comes on, he sings a song from almost exactly the same era, but he gets a standing ovation.
It simply wasn't fair.
Yeah, up yours, Simon Cowell.
So that was your favourite bit, fried bread?
Fried bread was my favourite. The idiot at the end I didn't like. I didn't like the fact the other fellow had to sing a song. And I didn't like the contrived fury. And the other thing I didn't like was that mincing Girls Aloud fan.
Oh, Kyle.
Yeah, national service. That's what he needs.
He could do with a bit of manning up, couldn't he?
He could. He could do with maybe a bit of backbone putting in there. Don't get me wrong. I've got nothing wrong with traditional English mincing.
No, it's good.
It goes back centuries. John Inman, Larry, what's his name?
Grayson, Hackman.
Kenneth Williams, all of that.
Yeah, it's part of the fabric of our society. It's necessary.
Yeah, well, but the thing is with those people is you still respect them. This fella, he I don't know, he just mints too much.
You still respected them.
You did, of course you did.
Despite what happened behind closed doors, do you
know? No. I don't care what they were getting up to. You respected the art of professional mincing.
Yeah, no, I see your point then, yeah.
Yeah, whereas he just seemed to be mincing a bit too much, quite frankly. I mean, there's mincing. Nobody's born a mincer, as far as I'm concerned. You've got to learn how to mince, and you've got to learn how to do it properly.
Yeah, in the working men's clubs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, if you walk into a room full of coal miners, and you're essentially going, hey, guess what I do? Yeah? You've got to have a bit of backbone.
For sure.
It's as simple as that. These people knew what they were bloody doing, which is why, when John Inman died, he had a state funeral to rival Winston Churchill's.
There you go. I would have only been happy after that Kyle fellow was up on stage if Simon Cowell had looked him up and down and just said, "You want working on, boy."
I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my head.
The next thing I wanted to ask you, Napoleon.
Yep.
Have you got the X Factor?
What have I got the X Factor? I think I think I've conclusively proved over the over however many of these I've done that I have the voice of an angel, and indeed I do have the X Factor.
Well, what exactly is the special X?
What the essence that changes me from just an ordinary singer into an extraordinary one. A bit like Leona Davis and the Steve...
Steve Brook monster.
Steve Brook, Brookenstein and the other ones. Yeah, well, I'm like them.
Yeah, but what is it they have and that you share that makes up the essence of the X?
Well, we have the X Factor, as it says. Have you got the X Factor? Yes, I have. What is the X Factor? Why, it's the X Factor.
XY, it's the Y.
I've got...
What?
Have I got the... What? The Y chromosome?
I don't know, you said YX, I've got the X or something.
Well, no, because that would have to mean that the two women that have won it have been transvestites.
Well, that wouldn't work, would it?
No. Have you got the X Factor?
I used to have the X Factor. Now I'm now XX Factor.
XX. Well, that's tipping dangerously towards pornography.
Stacey Solomon must have the SX Factor.
Who's Stacey Solomon?
The attractive horse.
Oh, the sexy horse lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at Stacey, actually. Just to go back to the X Factor, before we discover whether either of us got the X Factor, because I think that's what you're driving at here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have either one of us got the X Factor? And then I suppose it's up to the listeners to judge and be their own personal Simon Cowell. But just to quickly get back to sexy Stacey the horse...
SX Factor.
She's got the SX Factor and she's got the SX. Oh, is that what you were driving at? She's got the Essex Factor.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do.
But you said SX. Right, anyway, well, you've already covered that then. So, shall I go first?
What are we doing exactly?
We're doing the X Factor for the listeners.
Oh, right, are we actually going to role play the X Factor?
Yeah, so, do you want to be Simon Cowell? Or do you want to be Louie? Okay. Do you want to be Cheryl? Who do you want to be?
I suppose I'll be Cheryl.
Right,
I'll be Cheryl and Simon.
You're going to be Cheryl Cole?
Yes, man, I'm going to be Cheryl Cole for today, like.
Well, I just wish you hadn't had any run off with that lady. But then I suppose, you know, she may have had some meat on her bones.
I still love Ashley, though.
I still love Ashley, because, you know, eventually the singing career's gonna go, and I'm going to have to use his bunny.
One day, I'm going to have weepings with Ashley.
And my boobs are going to be down my knee and my knees.
And it might make me have a big tummy.
That's terrible.
What?
No, just this rubbish, this shit we're doing here. Nobody wants to listen to this.
Right,
right, so
okay.
You're Louie and you're Cheryl.
Just take it away.
Right,
sing.
Okay, so come on. Mm. Are we doing it in the new fashion where there's a fucking audience for no reason whatsoever?
Oh, no, we'll do it in the old style.
Right, so come through the door.
Yeah.
Hello.
Come in.
Oh, sorry. All right, okay. I'd always... Yeah, right, hang on.
Come in, man.
Hello?
Yes, if you could just stand on that spot there, please.
Well, that spot?
Yep.
There?
A bit to the right, please.
There?
That'll do.
Right, okay, right. Yeah, what do you want?
Take it away, sing as your number.
What, I've got to sing, have I?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. I've got me finger up to my ear. I've got my eyes closed. Are you ready?
Good, yep.
Here we go. I believe that children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Yeah, that's enough.
Give them a sense of
That's enough,
pride.
Man. That's enough,
we'll
man.
Make it easier.
Will
Let
you stop
the
it now, please?
What?
That was the worst audition I've ever heard.
Oh, right. Well, can I do another one?
No.
Because this is my dream.
Huge... Bouncer, could you throw this man out,
can
please?
Can I do another one? Because this is my dream.
Go on then, one more.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I could fly higher than an eagle.
Okay, stop.
You are the wings beneath my wind.
I think you got four yeses for that one.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
I've got the X Factor. Right, it's your turn now.
No, I'm not doing it, actually.
Why?
I'm above that.
What do you mean you're above that? I've just done two bloody songs here.
I know, but I'm above that. I'm better than you.
Well, you're better at what? You think you're better at singing than I am?
Well, I've proved it conclusively. I've sang on stage.
You've sang on stage? Well, that doesn't make any difference. I've sang on stage, drunk.
Yeah, but not drunk. I did it professionally.
What do you mean you did it professionally? What, you're in a band?
Well, I got paid with some cider.
You got paid? That's not... No, hang on a minute. That's not being a professional singer. You went up on stage, you did some kind of subnormal karaoke rubbish. Yeah, that's what you're saying. And they give you a pint of cider. What, to get off?
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Right, so I think we'll move on from there. And start talking about what we're talking about now.
I know nothing stays the same, but if you're willing to play the game, it could be coming around again. Nah.
That was beautiful.
Cheers.
You're not going through to the next round.
Oh, piss.
Right, what are we doing now?
What's next for Simon Cowell?
What is next for Simon Cowell? Well, I mean, obviously next for Simon Cowell is Britain's Got Talent, followed by America's Got Talent, followed by American Idol, followed by The X Factor, followed by Britain's Got Talent forever and ever and ever. But what we're going to imagine is if he lost all that, aren't we?
Well, I suppose one possibility, if he didn't lose all that, is for it all to merge into one big behemoth 24/7 format that never ends.
Oh, and it's Jesus.
Just Cal sort of raising an eyebrow at the entire universe and saying, oh, that's not very good, is
what
it?
What a never-ending talent show. What, that incorporates absolutely every human activity on Earth with
not
Cal just there watching it all.
Dogs, cats,
yeah,
trees, plants,
people on
everything.
Someone on a pneumatic drill, a plumber, somebody building, an actor, yeah. A porn actress getting on with the job.
Eggs, monkeys, dolphins, waves,
yeah.
Piers.
And all the way through is just, this is worse than yesterday.
Those are the worst teats I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you call that a set of udders? I've already seen 4 billion cows being milked, and those are the worst teats I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, that's how it could end up, because I think he is aiming for either some kind of dictatorship or even supreme being status.
Supreme being, like some kind of egg-headed god in the sky, like the Mekon from the Eagles.
Yeah, with higher trousers.
Was the Mekon in the Eagles?
Not the band, no. He wasn't in the Hotel California.
Well, how come I got Eagle in my head? The Eagles.
It was Eagle Comic.
Oh, Eagle Comic. Oh, right. I thought he was in the Eagles. I didn't think he was in the Eagles, obviously, because I know what the Eagles look like. And I swore bloody blind there's not a big green floating-headed man thing.
What, in the actual
in
Eagles?
In the Eagles, yeah. Because that would have been a bit weird, wouldn't it, really? You know, oh, welcome to the Hotel California. I will take over the world.
Dan Dare, we've been expecting you. Welcome to the Hotel California.
At last you've fallen into my plan. Yeah, that wouldn't have worked at all, would it? Mind you, it would have been an interesting show if you'd have seen him live.
What's Mekon got to do with it? Are you saying Simon Cowell is like some sort of Mekon?
Like, he could turn into the Mekon.
Well, I never followed the comic strip. What happened in Dan Dare?
I don't know. I just remember, because I used to go and buy Buster, and they always used to have the Mekon on the front of the Eagle comic with Dan Dare, and I sort of assumed he was some kind of all-knowing super presence that, I don't know, Dan Dare didn't like him.
Oh, you read Buster, did you?
I did read Buster, yeah. And the best thing about Buster was that the cartoon has changed in the 1980s, and Buster was the most beaten-up cartoon character I've ever seen in my entire life.
I didn't read Buster, I read a better comic.
Did you? Oh, well, what did you read? Let me guess. Oink?
Well, no, I read that, but that was later.
Did you read The Beano, Whizzer and Chips?
Whizzer and Chips.
Well, I read Whizzer and Chips as well.
If I'm honest, I read a bit of Buster and Beano as well.
You read a bit of Buster and The Beano?
Well, you'd read anything you could get your hands on.
Well, I read mainly Buster. I read Whizzer and Chips. I didn't like the Beano. I didn't like I hated the Dandy.
No, Dandy was terrible.
The Dandy was bloody awful. Hang on a minute. How have we gotten to this?
Simon Cowell is going to start a comics empire in Scotland, in Dundee.
Right. Well, yeah, about bloody time. Well done, Simon. Shall I move on to one of my ideas?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, my idea is called Cowell's Cape.
Right.
Right, and it says here, don't blame me, this is what's written down. Each contestant disappears beneath Simon Cowell's cape, where he waits, naked. Depending on how they cope with whatever he does to them under there, determines how far they get in his competition.
There's some dreadful imagery attached to that.
All it really is, it's technically Simon Cowell molesting people underneath a cape. So all you'd see is a cape and sobs.
And the occasional bulge.
And the occasional bulge, and maybe somebody running out, oh, I don't like it. I don't want to be that famous anymore.
And they don't even do a song or anything.
But you see, most people would put up with it because they're so hungry for fame now, aren't they? You've got a whole class of people who've grown up and the only thing they want to be is famous.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But that's probably because I went through my 20s doing so many things that would probably come out in the news of the world if I did get famous.
Well, I've got a few skeletons in my cupboard. I'm hoping never to become properly famous, like, what do you mean, like Peter Andre famous. That level of fame.
Yeah, Peter Andrew's very famous at the
moment. Peter Andrew, his lovely wife, Jordanette, and their beautiful children.
Yeah, they have got beautiful children, haven't they?
Yeah, so essentially what I'm saying is some people are so hungry for fame that they would let Simon Cowell molest them on television. I really, honestly, genuinely think they would.
Well, it's possible. I mean, we talked about the hopefuls last week, didn't we?
The hopeful. Oh, God, those bloody toenail-eating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's that is the same principle.
No, I think Cowell's cape is a winner.
Yeah, so, that's one we should send off to Simon Cowell and say, yeah, would you like to do Cowell's cape? You do get the opportunity to molest people. There'd have to be an age limit.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it'd have to be 18 and above, so obviously, young hopefuls would be like, I can't wait to be 18 so I can get molested by Simon Cowell. So have you got any more?
No.
Oh, right, so, well, I've got another one in this... This idea of, and what's it called? It's on the other page. Here we go. It's called Cowell's Search for a Sandwich.
Right.
Right? And yeah, I've written it. What?
No, carry on, sorry.
Right, it says, Simon says he's on the hunt for a sandwich that's fresh, unique, and that brings something new to the table. Yeah? But in the end, however, he does what he always does and picks the same bland, generic sandwich, which we've all seen hundreds of times before. And that sandwich then goes on to snatch the Christmas number one slot with yet another cover of Unchained Melody.
No, that would work.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because every week he's like, well, I don't know if, I don't know. To be honest, you live in London, you know what they put in sandwiches.
Rocket,
yeah, but I'm not sure about Rocket. I don't know why I'm doing him as Larry Grayson.
Mustard mayonnaise.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And eventually he just goes, I think I'll go for ham.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just think, well, God, you had the choice of fucking billions of sandwiches, Cal, and you've gone for that.
Yeah, you had crayfish, salt beef, all this smorgasbord of fillings.
Yeah, all readily available in London.
Yeah.
And certain parts of Manchester. I don't think we need to go any further than that. But, what does he pick? He picks a cheese and ham one.
Mind you, I prefer cheese and ham, don't you?
Yeah, I do, to be honest. I mean, if I was to pick a sandwich, it'd be a cheese sandwich, it'd be a sausage sandwich, it'd be a
bacon.
Ham sandwich, bacon sandwich. I wouldn't pick any of this, not like this shit they eat down there, you know.
And that is why Simon Cowell is a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, and I've just realised that Cowell's Search for Sandwich is, in fact, the X Factor with sandwiches.
Hello, you're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mothers, here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep, or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
Right, well, we touched on American Idol there, and I think we can leave Simon Cowell behind. And I'd just like Watch With Mothers to do our bit for Anglo-American relations, considering
Scotch.
All the...
Scotch-American relations.
And Anglo. All right. Britannia, America, whatever.
Well, I'm sticking up for the plucky Scotch in this bit.
Are you?
I am, yeah. The Scotch. Do you know why?
You're taking sides. I don't want to take sides.
All right, well, you don't take sides and I'll take sides. Because what are we speaking about at the moment?
Well, I was going to say, there's all this stuff about the NHS. And then there's the Lockerbie business.
Oh, there is, isn't there? Yeah. Lockerbie. Lock up your daughters. It's Lockerbie! Actually, yeah. That's not... you can't really say that, can you?
It doesn't really make any sense. That's
it doesn't
can't
make
say
any
it.
Sense. What about lock up your daughters? It's the NHS. Actually, no, that's even more sinister.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole point of this is that Watch His Mothers wants to do our part to kind of smooth relations and you know, just make the point that the Atlantic isn't such a long distance.
Hands across the pond.
Exactly, and we like a lot of American TV. I know you like a lot of American TV.
I love American things. I love Rambo movies. I love Ronald Reagan. I actually think they should have had a constitutional change to keep Ronald Reagan in office until he died of Alzheimer's disease. Fuck yeah!
That wouldn't have been practical, but fuck yeah!
Fuck yeah!
Right on, that would have been really good. Actually, we should keep talking in American accents because it will probably ingratiate us with our American cousins.
So, what, we do our bit for American relations by talking like Americans do?
We surely do. What
up? Hey, Dexter, you know what I mean? I just been out, I bought myself a hot dog, and now I'm taking my boy to Little League down near Sheboygan Station in Beef Burger Land.
Hey, kid, I said, why don't you go get yourself a burger and a whole plate of Dingamago?
So I was just eating a burger out there, down on Broadway, when the Scotch guy came over and he says to me, I just released Abu Banana Bin Laden from the Abu Ghraib prison up there in Scotland. And I said, I don't like that, you limey bastard. And he says, hey, now think about it. We did the Braveheart together with the Mel Gibson. And so we's friends. And you been nasty about our NHS. So fuck you. Fuck yeah.
So do you watch a lot of American TV, do you?
Yeah, I love American TV. Actually, no, I don't watch any American TV, really. I like American films. I don't like American TV.
You've seen Quincy Willis, though, haven't you?
Oh, I like Quincy. I like T.J. Hooker. Do you remember
the
T.J. Hooker? The A-Team? Yeah, that was all right. Apart from the fact it was shit. I watched all day of the A-Team. The A-Team. Fuck yeah!
T.J. Hooker, I remember that. That was a cop sliding along the floor on his front, wasn't it?
Well, what it was a fat William Shatner. He had to do a lot of running, and he wasn't in the best of shape at the time. Because you used to watch that thinking, I don't think he could chase down a criminal in real life. It was a bit fat.
Mm.
Fuck that, yeah!
That was around the time he was wearing a harness, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was wearing a girdle, I think. Mm. Or either that, it was monkey gland.
What's the monkey gland?
Well, in the old days, they used to have this idea that if you injected yourself with monkey glands, you'd get thin.
Well, which gland? They've got all sorts of glands, haven't they?
Well, I don't think it was a monkey glands. I don't think you'd be able to get that through through the eye of a needle.
It would be a big syringe.
It would be a huge syringe. I mean, that lie that they give you at the NHS, which the Americans, let's smooth this out right now. The NHS isn't that bad, actually, if you've ever used it.
Hey, don't stir the trouble.
Oh, I'm not stirring it. I'm just pointing out to our American cousins that it's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, being in a reasonable tone of voice.
The NHS is not too bad.
Good.
Thank you. But anyway, it's all right. I mean, it can be a bit... Accident and emergency can be a bit horrible, can't it?
Yeah, I was there for 24 hours once.
Well, I mean, frankly, if you end up in A&E, it's your own fault. You're usually drunk.
It wasn't my fault. It was a bouncer's fault.
What, you got... Well, yeah, let me have a guess. You were drunk?
I might have been a little bit drunk.
Right, so you were drunk, you got punched in the face by a bouncer, ended up in accident and emergency.
Yeah, that doesn't make it my fault, does it?
Yeah, it does. You, my friend, are a statistic. You're what Nick Ross was banging on about the other day when they were saying about the reason the NHS is straining at the to bursting point is because idiots like you go out, get drunk, get into fights, end up in A&E. You don't catch me doing that.
That's the only time I've been in A&E for an injury of that kind. I've never been there with a pot on my head. I've never been there with a bandage around my knee. In fact, that's the only time I've been in A&E. So that one stat, I think, is fine. That's less than my allowance.
Have you ever been bitten by a dog?
No, I've never been bitten by a dog. Have you been to A&E?
Yeah, I've been to A&E, yeah.
How many times?
Ooh, I've had a fair few, actually. But, I mean, I've had belly troubles.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm slightly excused. But I'll admit, I've turned up at A&E pissed with a broken nose and what have you.
But hang on.
Oh?
Your belly trouble?
Yeah.
Is that not caused by years and years of nicotine and alcohol abuse?
Yes.
Right. So you're just a statistic, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Where's this going? What, American TV?
Fuck yeah! Well, yeah. I mean... Oh yeah, you like American TV, don't you? You watched all of The Wire.
Yeah, I watched all of that.
Which you're obsessed with.
A little bit.
Well, to the extent that it's actually, you're coming across on the internet, where you're a minor celebrity, as a bit of a kind of Doctor Who type, nerd type person.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think you and your type, that's not saying there's anything wrong with you, but you and your type are starting to get on everybody's nerves with your constant references to The Wire.
Well, I'll tell you who's getting on my nerves at the moment.
Who's getting on your nerves?
That would be you, Greg Hard.
Oh, yeah. Up yours, Greg Hard!
You're bad.
Yeah, you're bad. Fuck yeah!
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes? Yeah. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers.
Now, should we talk about dogs?
Yeah, why not?
Let's have a quick conversation about dogs.
I don't really want to talk about dogs.
I want to talk about dogs, and I'm in charge to do as you're told.
So why do you want to talk about dogs?
I don't know, I'm thinking of purchasing a dog.
A dog? A wee dog? A wee little fella? What sort of a dog are you thinking of getting?
Well, you say a wee dog, yeah, I'm thinking something on the smaller side. Maybe perhaps a Westie is a proper gentleman's dog, I believe.
Well, that's not a proper gentleman's dog, that's a lady's dog.
Well, it's not, because it's got a beard.
Yeah, but it's a fluffy ball of white loveliness, isn't it? It's not a man's dog. A man's dog, something, I've always said a man's dog, something you can fight.
What, actually fight?
Actually fight, yeah. I mean, a lot of people think... I mean, if you actually look at the nature of a dog, he likes to have a bit of rough and tumble. He likes to fight. That's what dogs do. They love having a bit of a fight. Unfortunately, some breeds, well, they're either too skittish, such as your poodle, your... one of them ones that look like they've been done in with a hammer.
Afghan hound.
No. A pug. Them ones. Or things like that. They're just not... They're not... dog enough to get down there and have a good fucking wrestle with it. That's the kind of dog you need. Get yourself a spaniel.
I haven't really got the room for a spaniel around my gaff.
Right, so you can't. What about a Jack Russell?
Oh, they bark a hell of a lot, don't they?
Not necessarily, if you train them not to. Instill them with fear.
Can you just remove their tongues?
No, you can't just remove their tongues. That's. I mean, a dog needs a tongue to pan. It goes like... Can you hear that? Imagine it's a hot sunny day.
Listeners, just so you know, I've got headphones in at the moment, so I've actually got Napoleon panting in my ear, and it's really unpleasant. Oh, no, stop that. That's bad.
See, that's what dogs do. They also do this. Whoa! Which is a dog way of saying, hello, what's that?
Yeah, so if I remove the tongue, it won't be able to do either of those irritating things.
You can't take
a
dog's tongue out. No, it needs a tongue. What you do is you train. What you train your dog not to bark. That's all you need to do. And how you do that is you spend at least 6 years leathering it.
What, beating it?
Yeah, beating it, yeah. So like you would an errant child.
So you're all right beating it, but it's not good to remove their tongue, no, which you're doing as an act of kindness.
No, you can't take their tongues out. You just have to beat them to instill fear, a fear of man into them. I think that's how that's what I read in the 1973 Barbara Woodhouse book of animal training.
Yeah, she always got it spot on, didn't she?
She did. She used to go, "Now, what you need to do is make your dog sit down, so if you... Oh, please take up your canes."
What?
Your canes. Take up your canes.
Are you asking me to take up my cane now?
Yeah, so you... No. There's no point you taking up a cane. You haven't got a dog, have you?
Right.
You need to beat the dog with a cane. It's good that you've already got a cane, but you need to now get the dog, and you've decided you're going to go Westie, which is a woman's dog.
What kind of dog was Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo was a... what the hell do they call him? What was Scooby-Doo? Great Dane.
Right, they've got big floppy ears, naturally,
haven't
they?
The thing is, the problem is, if you got one of those, say you're having a dinner party,
yeah,
and there's a spook appears in the kitchen, what's going to happen? Next thing you know, you've got a dog in your arms.
Do you believe in spooks?
What, spooks? Yeah, or spectres.
Do you believe in them? Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, Jesus! Like that. That's what's that would essentially what be. You're there with the missus, and you've got your sophisticated London friends round, and says, "Would any of you like some of these?"
Oh, hey, Scooby! This.
Would you like some of these? Passing round the volivants, and next thing you know, he's there's a go. And next thing you've got a huge, great Dane in your hands going, "Oh, it's got blah, like that," and it's, yeah, you don't want to get one of them.
Is that, do you really think that of me, that I have parties where we hand around volivants?
Where you hand around, well, you're from London, aren't you?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm also probably the most antisocial person you know.
Yeah, I know, but if you were to host a dinner party, say this is never going to happen, obviously, but say you'd invited me to a dinner party.
Yeah.
Let's just get over the fictional aspect of this. Say you'd invited me to a dinner party, I can see what would happen. I'd turn up in my best suit, you know, me flared trousers and me kipper tie, and I'd stand there awkwardly, holding my baby sham, and you'd saunter over, and you'd say, "Would you like a vol-au-vent? Because this is London." Yeah. I say, well, what's in them? You say, "I don't know, prawn cocktail, actually. Or cheese, actually." I say, sorry, they're a bit too fancy for me. Can I have a sandwich?
Right, and then Scooby would see a ghost.
And he'd go, "What am I doing?" And then you'd have shit down your legs.
So not only have we covered comprehensively Simon Cowell's reign over British commercial television, mm-hmm, we've also soothed Anglo-American and Scotch-American relations.
Fuck yeah!
And also talked about dogs.
Yeah, I think that's... it's a bit rambling, isn't it? I think what happened there really was we ran out of things to say about the X Factor and we had to pad it out.
Well, there's only so much you can say about it.
Yeah, I mean, this will be something for Greg Hart to complain about.
Well, do you think he's listening still?
No, of course he's not. He listened to one of them and he thought, "Eh, I don't like this. I'm going to go listen to Richard Herring and Andrew Collins."
Yeah.
Not that bitter. Not that bitter about their listening figures.
Well, you know, they've got commerce on their side because they're both well known.
Yeah, they are. So, well, I mean, well, are they?
Yeah. Well, one's on BBC all the time and one's
off of the 90s.
Well, he's a sellout comedian in Edinburgh.
That doesn't mean anything, does it? What's that mean?
Well, I suppose no. You lose money, don't you, if you go to Edinburgh?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the whole point of Edinburgh. You go to Edinburgh, you do a show, you win an award, and hopefully somebody give you a TV show. I'm sure that's the only point people go to Edinburgh for, isn't it? Please give me a stand-up show on Paramount Comedy Channel 1.
But Richard Herring was on The Right Stuff. I think they pay you about £20,000 for an appearance on there.
Do they really?
No.
Oh, right, I was going to bloody say.
That'd be ridiculous.
Well, anyway, he's all right, and the other one's all right, but, you know, people sitting there... For some weird reason, we've ended up, and I don't know how this has happened, we've ended up always being compared to either Charlie Brooker, because we talk about TV, or Collins and Herring, because they're two men sat talking about things. Apparently, we'll never escape this. You know, I mean, for a start, I don't really particularly follow the career of Charlie Brooker that much, in all honesty. I don't read most of his bits, and I've missed most of his television shows. I saw that one he had on the BBC 4.
Yeah, that was all right.
The screen thingy. That was all right. Where he sits on his sofa talking shit about TV. I saw that. I haven't seen anything else he's ever done. Well, and yet, so you know, all we ever get is, oh, it's just like Charlie Brooker. Nobody else can talk about telly, ever?
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's an expert on telly because we've all been watching it since birth. So
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if you've got the ability to say mildly amusing things about TV, then you can join the Charlie Brooker rip-off party.
Yeah, in fact, why don't they all start their own podcast? Because it's piss easy to do.
It is, yeah. All you do is you sit there talking rubbish for ages and ages, and then people like Greg Hard come along and say you're a bunch of wazzocks for something you've done for nothing. God damn you, Greg Hard!
You're barred.
You're barred!
Right, well, let's sign off. So, goodbye, Greg Hard. Goodbye, Napoleon.
Goodbye, Mel.
Goodbye, Mel. Goodbye, Pilchard.
Goodbye.
Oh, you better say goodbye to Clary or she'll get upset.
Oh, God, yeah. Goodbye, Clary. You with your fucking hands. I'm sure I've got the hands off of her.
Yeah. Well, keep your hands off of her.
I've seen her in about 20 years and I've somehow managed to get her hands.
Goodbye.
Bye. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers.